It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Where are we collectively headed? What's the driving force? Consider the following quote from Dick Cheney, Vice President during both George W. Bush administrations, West Point Lecture, June 2002. Quote, "The plan is for the United States to rule the world. The overt theme is unilateralism, but it is ultimately a story of domination. It calls for the United States to maintain its overwhelming superiority and prevent new rivals from rising up to challenge it on the world stage. It calls for dominion over friends and enemies alike. It says not that the United States must be more powerful or most powerful, but that it must be absolutely powerful." Again, Dick Cheney. Now let's consider this quote. "It is the leaders of the country who determine policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along. Whether it is a democracy or a fascist dictatorship, a parliament or a communist dictatorship, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked, denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism, and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country." A quote from Hermann Göring, the head of the Nazi Army's equivalent of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Remember 9/11? Who was in control? Who took control of NORAD during that event? Dick Cheney. Is that any surprise? The 9/11 false flag event that did exactly what Hermann Göring described, to galvanize the population in total support of the unleashed military-industrial complex quest to plunder resources around the globe. One more quote to ponder. Here's the quote. "If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state." From Joseph Goebbels, German Nazi Minister of Propaganda and Public, quote, "Enlightenment." What is the biggest lie ever propagated by the power structure and those who serve them? That it's just condensation trails in our skies. Absolute lie that anyone with a sound and functioning sense of reason can decipher. By a constant observation of the skies, you can't have grid patterns one day, nothing the next, unless something is going on. And there was a mountain of data to back up that something is global climate engineering programs launched without public knowledge or consent, an experiment from which there is no return, an experiment which we have all been committed to, again, without our knowledge or consent. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for October 20th, 2018. This is a commercial-free program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM and 105.7 FM, Saturday morning, 6 to 7. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. As always, this announcement, if you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Announcement for this week's Jim Fair programs, that each of which has a geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth, also with free materials. You can get into those events free if you tell them at the ticket counter you're there to pick up free materials to help us to sound the alarm. This week's event, Del Mar, California, started yesterday, ends tomorrow. Del Mar Fairgrounds next week, Santa Rosa, California, October 26th through October 28th, Sonoma County Fairgrounds. For all those listening to this broadcast in the North State that are wondering why the fire apocalypse scenarios are now off the scale. Please take the time to investigate what you're not being told by any corporate media or any official agency source. Illegal global climate engineering programs are wreaking havoc on our weather and the climate as a whole. Governments around the globe, again, have colluded and cooperated in the deployment of what is scientifically termed solar radiation management operations, in a desperate and unimaginably destructive and dangerous experiment to mitigate climate change. As I previously stated, we are all part of a grand and lethal climate engineering experiment. Governments and militaries around the globe are now playing God with the weather. While we are dealing with the consequences on the ground, the public must investigate the facts on this most critical issue. And on that note, tonight, the Northern California GeoengineeringWatch.org Awareness and Call to Action event will occur at the Holiday Inn in Redding, California. GeoengineeringWatch.org will provide our most complete, comprehensive, and dire data presentation to date. There will be an extensive public question and answer session, followed by a Making Connections session. This event is completely free. Free GeoengineeringWatch.org canvas tote bags and awareness-raising materials will also be supplied to all that attend. Why is climate engineering so critical to investigate and to understand? Because the ongoing climate engineering geoengineering operations are mathematically the greatest and most immediate threat we collectively face, short of nuclear cataclysm. A U.S. Forest Service biologist, retired, but with very extensive credentials, will also be at the Reading event to answer questions during Q&A. Helping to expose and halt climate engineering requires sticking to the verifiable facts. Tabloid internet sites are posting anything and everything they can conjure up in the apparent attempt to garner maximum YouTube views. Sources that behave in this manner are only undermining the credibility of the anti-geoengineering cause or the internet as a whole. Before sharing sensationalized claims, investigate, verify, make sure what you are sharing is solid data and not something that will harm the cause. Many breaking headlines to cover. I'll save the most dire for last. Here's a few headlines on the unfolding crash of the economic Ponzi scheme that was never sustainable and is, again, already crashing. I'll quickly cover a list of headlines. Let's start with this. Venezuela ditches the U.S. dollar, will use euros for international trade. This is why many countries are being taken out. I've covered this again and again. The U.S. empire, at the barrel of a gun, has tried to enforce the dollar being used as the global reserve currency because that allows the empire to print as many dollars as they want. That's what has allowed the U.S. to produce a military that is bigger than the next 10 militaries combined, which corresponds with Dick Cheney's statement that I covered at the beginning of this broadcast. Next headline, Russia and China prepare to ditch the dollar in bilateral trade. Countries around the globe have had enough of being bullied, invaded, looted, plundered, pillaged. They've had enough. And this is not to say that Russia and China are benign governments. Not at all. Not saying that. Criminality is everywhere. But again, as I've stated many times, the degree of that criminality and destructiveness is in direct proportion to the size of the militaries involved and the amount of power involved. We know who's at the top of that list, don't we? Next headline, debt counselor phones at, quote, capacity in Australia over mortgage and rent issues. Australia crashing as well. Next headline, China's imminent economic implosion. It's coming all over the globe. As I've stated so many times, economic collapse must be a consequence of environmental collapse. It cannot be otherwise. The illusion can no longer be maintained. The illusion of a perpetually growing, expanding economy on a finite world with finite resources can't maintain that anymore when the biosphere collapses. It's collapsing now. Another headline. China stocks plunge amid heavy selling in the energy sector and growing worries about the economy. Next headline. Get your money out of Italy now. Economic crash imminent. Next headline. Bank of America CEO Moynihan says he'll cut jobs equal to the workforce of Delta Airlines. Lots of jobs falling there. It doesn't sound like the signs of a booming economy, does it? Keep in mind the power structure will do everything it can to mask the severity of what's unfolding environmentally and economically from the U.S. population for as long as possible. Why? Because if the U.S. population were to finally wake up and face reality, that would potentially be a counterbalancing force on the planet, something that could help alter the current course we are on, a course of certain near-term omnicide. We need the population to wake up. Another headline. Pfizer announces worldwide job cuts as part of restructure. Another headline. U.S. mortgage industry faces job losses as refinancing dries up. Ponzi scheme. Whole economic economy. Always was and now is crashing. Let's continue with this. From counterpunch.org, a very important article by John Whitehead, which I would highly recommend reading in its entirety. Again, from counterpunch.org, John Whitehead. Listen to this headline. How clear can it be? Quote, you want to make America great again? Question mark. Start by making America free again. Here's an excerpt. Quote, if the freedom of speech be taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led, like sheep to the slaughter. That quote was from George Washington. It's part of the article, but it alludes to what's in the article. Though George Washington had many faults, his statement in this case is more true today than ever before. Censorship and surveillance continues to worsen rapidly. It is worse now than ever before. Those who think it is getting better under the current administration need to clear the lens through which they see the world. Occupants of the White House are only puppets in the play, whose role it is to distract and divide populations. Again, now more so than ever before. Another headline. Consider this report from Reuters, published last week. U.S. and Saudi Arabia have leverage on each other. Using it has costs. Excerpt. The United States and Saudi Arabia have had a mutually dependent relationship for 7 decades, right after World War II, again, where the dollar was designated as the global reserve currency and the petrodollar, all part of the plan, part of which I just outlined. A dependent relationship for 7 decades based on a central bargain. The kingdom would pump oil and the superpower, i.e. the United States, would provide security. Again, the full report is available from Reuters and other sources. Now, with that in mind, consider this headline from multiple sources. Saudi Arabia, quote, coincidentally, wires $100 million to the U.S. during the controversy of the murdered Saudi journalist. Imagine that. Who would have thought that could happen? Surely just a coincidence, right? Moving on. There is much unfolding on countless fronts. What direction are we collectively heading? Saudi Arabia is again likely going to get a free pass. But it's not just the current administration. The Obama administration overlooked an endless list of Saudi crimes in order to keep the oil coming in and the weapon sales going out. And what happened under the Bush administration? Bush 2. Who got a free plane ride home in the days after 9/11 when no one else was even allowed to fly? Nearly 100 Saudi nationals, no questions asked. And what about the Clintons? Saudi Arabia has donated more than $10 million to their foundation. Criminality, all through the chain of the puppet occupants of the White House. And in regard to Hillary Clinton, why didn't Mr. Trump ever follow through on prosecuting her for crimes she inarguably committed? Never even a mention of this after the so-called election. The citizens of the United States from all sides of the orchestrated political theater need to wake up and look at the horizon through a clear lens. The entire political circus is nothing more than a well-scripted sideshow of distraction, pushed on populations by the power structure-controlled mainstream media. All the while, the biosphere and climate implosion continues to accelerate, hurtling us all toward near-term planetary omnicide. We must all see through the theater. We must accept that those in control do not care about anything other than oil, weapons, and the propagation of their power until there is nothing left. To be clear, if we don't wish to end up where we're currently heading, we must all face reality. We must stand on verifiable facts. We must follow such facts wherever they lead. We must wake the masses. We must change course. All, everything, everything we hold dear is in the balance. Moving on. Let's consider this headline of Half-Truth and Idiocy from the SmithsonianMagazine.com, the Smithsonian Institute, it's titled. From their, quote, smart news section, this. Thanks to climate change, beer will go the way of the bees, chocolate, and coffee. That's the headline report. As a recent and verifiable, this is an excerpt, as a recent and verifiable dire United Nations report on climate change made clear, rising global temperatures are poised to cause a host of catastrophic effects, extreme heat, floods, increased poverty, within the foreseeable future. If that wasn't enough to get you worried, consider this. A new study has found that climate change is also likely to lead to shortages in beer. What an absurd report. This is not a joke. It's not a joke that the biosphere is imploding. Am I to look at my children and pretend this is some sort of humorous issue? It's not humorous. And this is what these paid institutions, so-called institutions that our society is trained to worship, just like we're trained to worship the medical industrial complex and all the criminality they now represent. When we have institutions like the Smithsonian, one, stating everything is due to climate change and omitting the climate engineering elephant in the room, which, by the way, is the single greatest cause of forest burn downs, crop collapse around the globe. It's the intentional intervention with the climate system. And this is for those who are still desperately clinging to the notion that the only problem with the climate is climate engineering. That's wrong, too. That's denial also. Lots of denial on every end of the fence here. We need to come together and stand on verifiable facts, not our independent ideologies. We've been horrible stewards of the planet. What rational person could deny that? The list of decimation caused by the human race to the planet is far too long to cover in hours and hours of news programs. Couldn't cover it all. That being said, the single greatest assault is climate engineering, and it's completely omitted from institutions like Smithsonian, that are owned by the power structure, lock, stock, and barrel. They say what they're told to say. And when they, one, omit climate engineering, and two, pretend that these, quote, host of catastrophic effects are somewhere off over the horizon, that's completely absurd. You would have to be completely asleep at the wheel not to realize these catastrophic effects are here now and getting worse by the day. Please don't be pacified by reports of idiocy from the so-called official sources like this. You must learn enough to see through this kind of smoke and mirrors. And if, for those who can't see that the catastrophic effects of a completely derailed climate system, with the single greatest factor being climate engineering, if you can't see that at this moment in time, please stand back and take a good look at the horizon. It could not be more obvious. The grave and immediate challenges we collectively face are just a bit bigger than running out of beer. From VoxNews.com and other sources, this headline, a pandemic killing tens of millions of people is a real possibility, and we are not prepared for it. To start with, we don't need a pandemic for tens of millions, no, not just hundreds of millions, billions of people to die soon. Short of some unforeseen miracle, that's a given. But as the power structure is backed further and further into a corner, and as I've covered in previous broadcasts, as their massive expansion of biolabs experimenting with lethal pathogens, the majority of which done by the U.S. and our labs abroad, which I covered in previous broadcasts, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. We don't know how much biological experimentation is in fact going on right now. An excerpt from this report. A century ago, the Spanish flu killed more than 50 million people. The world is at risk of another pandemic of similar scale, especially when you're experimenting with that very pathogen in U.S. biological labs. Yeah, it would seem inevitable. Report continues. This year we marked the 100th anniversary of a catastrophe that killed more Americans than all of the events of various wars combined. The Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, which took as many as 675,000 lives in this country and more than 50 million worldwide, killing nearly one out of every humans alive then. 100 years later, it is the prospect of another such pandemic, not a nuclear war or a terrorist attack or a natural disaster. Those natural disasters, not so natural, as I've just alluded to, that possesses the greatest risk of massive casualty event in the United States. The scope of the danger is breathtaking. Bill Gates, well, we all know enough about Bill Gates to know where he may fit in this equation. Bill Gates, citing epidemiologists, has said that there is a, quote, reasonable probability of a pandemic that kills more than 30 million people worldwide in the next two decades. Let's make this clear. On the current course, with the current rate of damage to the planet, we don't need a pandemic in 2 decades. None of us will be here in 2 decades. That's a mathematical certainty on the current course, given the rate of die-off. Again, we must learn enough to see through sort of pacifying statements. Not that that should be pacifying, but compared to what's really happening, it is. So Gates said, again, that is a given that there will be a pandemic that kills more than 30 million people worldwide in the next 2 decades. A tabletop exercise run at Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security in May simulated a global flu-like, it's an experiment, outbreak called Clade X, and found that 150 million people, including 15 million in the U.S., would die in the first year alone. Final statement from the report, then I'll elaborate. While the ultimate goal of a universal flu vaccine, here's where they're leading, right? A universal flu vaccine is still far in the future. Better vaccines that cover a wide array of flu strains are coming sooner. Last year, a global public-private partnership named the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, with their acronym, was formed to accelerate vaccine development for epidemic infectious diseases and threats. Though CEPI was launched with generous support from donors like the Gates Foundation, the more we do now to accelerate vaccine research and deployment, the better we will fare when that day comes. This is a total blatant glaring lie. We know those in power know the planet can no longer support the population. And because those in power know that, they've been doing everything they can to diminish the functionality of that population and cull the ranks for a very long time. So let's look at the record of Bill Gates and his vaccination programs in Africa. What statistics do we now have of vaccinated African children that they are 5 times more likely to die in the first 5 months if they were vaccinated? Does that sound like Bill Gates is there to help? How easy is this to see through? Vaccinations in the U.S. and the unbelievably skyrocketing autism rates. And just because a child is not diagnosed with autism doesn't mean they haven't been damaged. IQs are dropping precipitously in the U.S. The vaccinations are a part of that. You cannot inject a neurotoxin that has known cognitive destructive effects and not have a problem. How simple is this? When will the population cut and abandon their ideology and do some real research and face facts? And I realize it's hard. It's hard to have everything we believed in challenged. Everything. A complete overturning of what we thought was reality, of what we have been trained to believe is a benevolent government that's there for us, that's there to look after us, that couldn't be further from the truth. It's nothing but a completely out of control corporate criminal cabal that is now, at this point, as the biosphere implodes, more dangerous than ever before, than ever before. So as they're pushing vaccinations on us by these types of stories that I just went over, that a pandemic is coming that's going to kill tens of millions of people, when, again, even without that pandemic, mass die-off is already occurring. But consider that that's the bottom line. Frighten the population into more blind acceptance of highly damaging and dangerous vaccinations, which are in and of themselves a global pandemic. And those that don't succumb to the damaging vaccinations may in fact face a very real pathogen release, which the vaccinations were never intended to actually prevent. With all this in mind, consider this new report from ZeroHedge.com and other sources. Scientists, quote, freak out over pandemic potential of genetically engineered smallpox. From that report, following the release of a paper earlier this year which describes how researchers stitched together segments of DNA in order to revive horsepox, a previously eradicated virus, scientists have been, quote, freaking out over the possibility that bad actors may use the study as a blueprint to revive smallpox. Why would this be a surprise if it's into everything I just described? The disease killed an estimated 300 million people. The publication of a method for reviving a closely related disease has understandably raised some red flags, you think, within the scientific community. Further reports from futurism.com. Let's press on with this theme. With much of the population still fast asleep at the wheel, what else is the power structure throwing at us? There's the very real threat from the 5G frequency rollout. As I've covered in previous broadcasts, 5G is the same frequency the military uses for crowd control. And please don't believe me. Please just do objective research for yourself on everything I report. On that note, in regard to 5G, Consider this headline report from Globes, which is Israel's business arena news. Here's the report title: 5G mobile revolution designed in Israel. Here's an excerpt from the report. Qualcomm, Israel VP Technology, starts the conversation with an unequivocal statement. Qualcomm's first 5G cellular was developed in Israel and will be launched in 2019. For the record, certainly we now know with certainty all radio frequency microwave transmissions are harmful to all life. But this being said, the 5G frequency is a new level of agenda, danger, and insanity. And let's not forget the Stuxnet computer virus, which I've covered in previous broadcasts, which was a construct of Israel and the U.S., which was a probable factor in the safety equipment failure at Fukushima, which in turn has given us 3 full nuclear meltdowns with no known technology to fix the situation, with no end in sight to the nuclear volcanoes, and which in and of itself could be a global extinction event. Pressing on, too much to cover, not enough time to cover it. What's the current administration think of the imploding biosphere? Here's a quote from the president covered in a 60 Minutes interview last week. Quote, "I think something's happening. Something's changing, and it'll change back again. I don't think it's a hoax. I think there's probably a difference, but I don't know that it's man-made. I will say this. I don't want to give trillions and trillions of dollars. I don't want to lose millions and millions of jobs. I don't want to be put at a disadvantage." Let me stop there. And all administrations, puppets for the power structure. But let's just dissect this quote for a moment. Who could rationally think that we could do what we've done to the planet, which includes climate engineering at the top of the list, and not have a bad result? Who could rationally think that? We've destroyed nearly 60% of Earth's forests, over 60% of Earth's wildlife. We pumped 100 million tons of CO2 in the atmosphere a day. It's more than that now. We've caused methane to be spewed into the atmosphere that's covering the planet like a layer of glass. We've poisoned the oceans. We've paved the planet. How could there not be some sort of consequence? How is that possible? And yes, as the president just stated, it'll change back again, perhaps in 10 to 20 million years or more, based on paleo data. So we need to get past, people from all sides of the fence need to get past whoever's in the White House. It doesn't make any difference. They're puppets on the end of strings, and it is baffling, truly baffling, how much people from every side of the fence want to worship their particular Messiah. It's baffling to me. It's irrational. It's not reasonable to ignore facts in lieu of worshiping a particular individual that sometimes tells us what we want to hear. We need to get past that. We need to look at hard facts. We need to face reality head on. Here's something to consider. The current administration, like, as I stated, so many previous administrations, is fully backing and even expanding the climate engineering insanity. Can the denial of man-made changes to the climate, under any context, be considered anything other than a willful lie at this point? Here's something to consider. All available data makes clear that the ongoing illegal global climate engineering operations, again, are the single greatest factor fueling the record wildfires all over the globe. With that in mind, consider this new report from multiple sources. President threatens to cut California firefighting aid over, quote, old trees. An excerpt from the report. The president threatened to cut off federal aid for firefighting in California, which he said, quote, costs hundreds of billions of dollars, which was, by the way, a gross exaggeration. Total federal firefighting costs in 2017 were less than $3 billion, according to the National Interagency Fire Center. But let's get to the point. What's the core causal factor for the massive die-off and burn-down of forests all over the globe? No, it's not global warming. This is not to say that global warming isn't real. It is. In fact, we face an abrupt climate collapse already unfolding. It's far worse than almost anything we're willing to accept, and certainly anything we've been officially told. But here is the bottom line fact of the matter. The forest incinerations all over the globe are not the result, again, of global warming or of not enough logging, as the current administration would like us to believe. In the case of the forest, the single greatest factor fueling their demise is climate engineering. Why? Here's the short list of why. Climate engineering is completely disrupting the hydrological cycle, i.e. the rain cycle. We know this. We can prove it with satellite imagery and related data. We can prove what's happening off our coast, which is disrupting the storm track completely. Two, climate engineering is the single greatest factor destroying the ozone layer, which kills trees from the top down. Three, climate engineering fallout. Toxic heavy metals like aluminum sterilizes soils and kills the trees from the bottom up. Four, climate engineering particulates are electrically conductive. They create more static buildup in the atmosphere and thus more dry lightning. The same climate engineering fallout metal particles like aluminum are also incendiaries. They coat landscapes and foliage, thus more extreme fires. The climate engineering insanity continues to be ramped up, not scaled back. All administrations and puppet occupants of the White House have been and are a part of the ongoing weather warfare assault. This includes Obama, Bush, Clinton, and others. But the bottom line is, for the current occupant of the White House to threaten to cut off funding for fighting fires, when in fact the very programs being conducted by our government are the single greatest core causal factor, how incredibly unjust is this whole entire equation? If you want to know more about this and see the hard data, documents, gag orders on government weather scientists, National Weather Service, and NOAA, if you want to see hard data, come to the presentation tonight. For those that roll their eyes and walk away and tell themselves none of it's so without doing any objective investigation, that's the coward's way out. Please come. Please show the courage to come, investigate the facts, arm yourself with credible data. That's all we're asking. Moving on. From UPI.com and other sources, consider this new report. President signs Save Our Seas Act to boost cleanup efforts in world oceans. Quote, this is from the president. This waste, trash, and debris harms not only marine life, but also fishermen, coastal economies along America's vast stretches of coastline. The bad news is it floats towards us. The president said this before signing this legislation I described. Quote, he said again, I've seen pictures recently, and some of you have seen them, where there's vast, tremendous, unthinkable amounts of garbage floating right onto our coast, in particular along the West Coast. I have a question for the president. First, why are we shipping our trash, including plastics, to be dumped in Asian countries? As I've covered in previous broadcasts. Next, this question for the president, who stated, quote, again, the bad news is the trash floats toward us. Is that really the only bad news? Would it not be so bad if the trash we are shipping to Asian countries would stay in their waters? It would be prudent to remember and consider that the fishbowl we live in is small and getting smaller. If we continue to contaminate it from every possible direction, we all die. Continuing from the report about this legislation that was signed, the president called out China and Japan as being two of the countries that are responsible for large amounts of debris in the oceans. For the record, the president then said this. It's incredible when you look at it, Trump said. People don't realize it, but all the time we're being inundated by debris from other countries. Again, for the record, as I just reported, and as I reported again on previous week's broadcast, we, the USA, are shipping much of our trash to the very countries that the current administration is pointing the finger at. How deep can the hypocrisy go? And again, for the record, the practice of dumping our trash in poor countries goes back through many administrations, including Obama, Bush, Clinton, and further still. All of these administrations, puppets for the power structure. The hypocrisy is immense. Why is it so important to cover these stories, the false narrative about why our forests are burning, the false narrative about where the trash is really coming from that's washing up on our shores? Because it's exposing the lies. It's trying to encourage people to look past the official narrative of lies. As I covered in the very beginning of this broadcast, tell a lie enough and the people begin to believe it. They have believed an unimaginable amount of lies, and I'm exposing some of those lies now. It matters. It all matters. It matters that we question everything, that we utilize our sense of reason and not blindly accept what the so-called experts or the so-called official agencies or the so-called president tells us, whoever that president may be from any side of the fence. And in regards to some issues, the environmental community, I'm so sorry to say, is the deepest in denial in many ways. I've been over this again and again, and I'll continue to go over it because that hypocrisy is unimaginably immense. Environmentalist so-called global warming communities that refuse to acknowledge the climate engineering elephant in the room, that's hypocrisy. The single greatest climate destructive, disrupting factor of all, completely ignored by the so-called environmental and so-called global warming communities like Bill McKibben of 350.org that receives funding from the Rockefeller Foundation, like Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! That receives funding from the Ford Foundation, bought, sold, paid for, and they will not address the most dire issue of all. Lots of hypocrisy to go around on every side of the orchestrated political fence. Let's move on. How much trash do Americans produce compared to other countries? Let's consider the statistical facts. Here is the title of a report from Alternate.com and other sources. America is a wasteland. The U.S. produces a shocking amount of garbage. That should be no surprise. The average American produces more than 4 pounds of trash every single day. If you're an average American, you produce 4.4 pounds of trash every single day, significantly more than the global average. In a nation of nearly 324 million people, that amounts to 700,000 tons of garbage produced daily, enough to fill around 60,000 garbage trucks. When consumers see the recycling symbol, they may think that the product is without environmental cost, or that the purchasing of a recyclable item is actually an environmentally friendly, positive act. So the recycling symbol in the bottle, or just the idea that we can recycle stuff when we're done, may actually lead us to buy more stuff than we needed in the first place. With that in mind, and everything else I just covered about the trash our country has shipped to Asian countries to dump in their lands, which then is dumped in the ocean, which then floats back to us. Why is that a surprise? With all that, consider this report from NPR and other sources. China has now refused to recycle the West's plastics. Report states, what now? For more than 25 years, many developed countries, including the U.S., have been sending massive amounts of plastic waste to China instead of recycling it on their own. Now that China won't take it, what's happening to the leftover waste? According to a new study, it's piling up. We've heard reports of waste accumulating in places that depend on China. The lead author of the study published this report in Scientific Advances last week. They said some of the trash is ending up in landfills, being incinerated, or sent to other countries that don't have the infrastructure to properly manage it. Where does it go then? It's dumped into the oceans, where it floats back to us. So let's please examine the whole truth and not take our trash to Asian countries, dump it there, and then blame them when it floats back to us. Moving on, from Cosmos Magazine and other sources. Trees and plants reached peak carbon 10 years ago. This is important. For all those who jump up and down and say CO2 is wonderful, the more the better, that's not true. That's a completely false statement. From this report, more atmospheric carbon dioxide in the 60s meant greener, flourishing forests, but our photosynthesizing friends have long had their fill. New data confirms. This data shows, quote, peak carbon, when vegetation consumed its largest carbon dioxide, occurred in 2006. And since then, the appetite has been decreasing. Plants can't adapt this fast. That's important to understand. We are changing the conditions on Earth 170 times faster, conservatively, than any previous mass extinction event. 170 times faster. Nothing can adapt. So for those, again, saying carbon is great, the more the better, tell that to oceans, and now tell that to plants that it's claimed are flourishing because of this extra CO2. Not true. Not true. In our forest, nothing grows. Some plants are still alive, some trees are still alive, but nothing is really growing. They're dying. In a process of slow dying and decaying for all the reasons I've mentioned in this broadcast. The incredibly intense UV, the toxic elements in the rain, and yes, too much CO2 in the air. Too much. That's what the facts state, and we see the results. Aside from what anybody says, aside from what any study says, anyone that doesn't recognize our forests are deteriorating rapidly, the ones that are still alive, the ones that haven't already burnt to the ground for the reasons I cited, anyone who can't see that they're deteriorating, anyone who can't drive around Redding or other cities and see that trees are deteriorating rapidly, and it doesn't mean every single specimen. There are some specimens that are stronger than others and some that still look okay. But there are many, many and rapidly increasing specimens that look horrible. Drive through parking lots and look how horrible some of the trees look. And for those who say that's just because of the reflection off the asphalt and the windshields, that's also nonsense. You can come to the woods and see exactly the same thing where there's no parking lots and no windshields. Look at the facts. It's happening. We are on the fast track to a lifeless planet. Moving on. In the first evidence that we are tipping over the edge potentially towards runaway or irreversible climate change, we're past that point, says James Curran, former chief executive of the Scottish Environmental Protection Agency and co-author of the study published. The news has come as a shock. Previous estimates indicated that peak carbon would not be reached until at least 2030. Instead, the new data reveals that trees and plants are already 10 years beyond peak carbon. In 2014 alone, the shortfall in carbon absorption was equivalent to a year's worth of human-produced emissions from China. That's immense. But next year, the shortfall might be adequate to the emissions of China plus Australia. But what this report is leaving out, it's leaving out. Part of the reason those trees are not absorbing more carbon is because of climate engineering. Because the toxic elements in the rain are poisoning root systems, causing them to shut down nutrient uptake. The intense UV is shutting the trees' stomata, their respiratory ports, so they can't breathe, they can't absorb carbon. So there is a massive factor left out of this equation that could change the whole equation, and that is climate engineering. It's not being acknowledged, the effects of climate engineering. Yet again, one more massive factor that makes abundantly clear, single greatest threat we face is climate engineering. It is virtually disabling the planet's ability to respond to what's happening. Climate engineering is the greatest threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. Another headline from the UK Independent and other sources, this alarming but not surprising report. UK growers warn of a shortage of onions, potatoes, and other vegetables after extreme weather decimates crops. Onion crops down by half, potatoes down by a third after summer heat wave. And let's keep in mind, climate engineers can and are creating massive heat zones. They can create short-term toxic cool downs at the cost of a worsened warming, but they can actually create massive heat domes. How? Ionosphere heaters. This is all verifiable fact. You have the documentation to back it up. When you heat the ionosphere, you create compressing air that creates a heat dome that causes the northern hemisphere a clockwise circulation, which is used to steer the jet stream. So they are baking the U.S. West and parts of the European West under heat domes. That's part of this problem. This is weather warfare, all-out weather warfare. So we have massive food shortages or crop failures happening in the U.K. right now, and it's happening all over the planet. Make no mistake, all over the planet, and it's going to get worse fast. Moving on, another headline from ZeroHedge.com and other sources. Again, we all have to sift through various news sources. Some have credible data sometimes, other times not so much. But we need to learn to sift the baby from the bathwater. But consider this headline. Scientists warn world-facing major famine could lead to severe shocks in global food system. Well, there's no could or may or might, correct? If we have shortage of food, we have famine, shocks will come. Researchers from Washington State University have published a new report of the Great Drought, the most destructive known drought of the past 800 years, and how it sparked a global famine that claimed the lives of 50 million people. The scientists warn that the Earth's current warming climate could spark a similar drought, but even worse. Let's stop there. The single greatest drought-causing factor on the planet is absolutely, positively climate engineering and the desiccant, evaporative, disrupting particles that are sprayed into the atmosphere. You cannot have less rain on a warming planet without the climate engineering factor. Atmosphere holds 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. It must rain more unless there's something we're not being told. That something is climate engineering, period. Another headline about hunger from Quartz.com. And though sometimes a source of solid information, this report is total delusion. Follow me through with these next few dots. Here's the headline. A scientist explains why you should be eating insects to help fight global hunger. Stay with me. There's a few dots I want to connect. The report states this. Insects could be a game changer in the race to combat food insecurity and achieve zero hunger on the planet. That's the theme of this year's World Food Day. Another organization that wants to instill the public with feel-good delusion. Total delusion. This is a massive lie of pacification from so-called academia and a so-called scientist. Given the headline report that I just read, that eating insects will be, quote, a game changer that will, quote, achieve food security and zero hunger, consider this new report, which correlates with reports I've given on this broadcast in the past. From IMT Online and other sources, this report published this week, quote, hyper-alarming study shows massive insect loss. From the report, beekeepers in the U.S. and elsewhere stated an increase in honeybee deaths over the last year, possibly a result of erratic weather patterns. What about the aluminum? If search bees aluminum, again, this is academia is a joke at this point. They're a joke. They omit the facts to pacify the population. Search bees aluminum. We know aluminum is killing the bees. We know that, giving them symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. But the report continues. Weather patterns brought on by a changing climate, no mention of climate engineering, insects around the world are in crisis, according to a growing number of long-term studies showing dramatic declines in invertebrate populations. A new report suggests that the problem is far more widespread than scientists realize. We realized at geoengineeringwatch.org a decade ago. We're to think that the entire climate science community didn't realize? We were publishing there was an 80 to 90% decline in aquatic and terrestrial insects nearly a decade ago. It's taken this long for academia to admit it. And then we go back to what I read a moment ago, that a so-called scientist representing a major organization says that eating insects is going to fix our global food supply. We're living in an asylum. There's no birds, or the bird populations are crashing because there's no insects. Are we to think that if the birds can't survive due to lack of insects, somehow we're going to find enough to support us all? Absurd. We live in an asylum. Now to the rapidly worsening climate engineering-caused weather whiplash scenarios in the U.S. Let's start with this report from last week. National Weather Service records earliest snowfall ever in Kansas. Earliest snowfall ever, with some record cold and record snow. Keep following me. How about this headline, which not too many people talked about? Fairbanks, Alaska, breaks 101-year-old high temperature record. Temperatures that are far above normal. Hasn't frozen in many parts of Alaska still. And we have record cold in Kansas? That's called chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. And astoundingly, even some people in the anti-geoengineering community, or say they are, will use this as some sort of verification that the climate's not warming, which covers the tracks of the climate engineers because the event in question was completely engineered. We have to stand on solid, credible data, and if we're really fighting against climate engineering, we have to look at all the facts. These cool downs are completely engineered. These weather whiplash scenarios are a result of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. More on that in a moment. Now, let's consider this is now the normal. Again, snow in Kansas and suntan weather in Alaska. And let's not forget the warm weather in Finland, for example. Here's a headline. Finland breaks October records with temperatures of 70 degrees. The Finnish nighttime temperatures were also at record warmer levels. Why? It's not cooling off at night because the planet, the atmosphere is saturating with methane, which is covering the planet like a layer of glass. What happens when our atmosphere is thickened with an extremely powerful heat-trapping gas like, again, methane? Heat gets in, doesn't get out. Planet warms rapidly. What about climate engineering and solar radiation management? Again, short-term cooling in exchange for worsened long-term warming. Temporary toxic cool downs, large regions, but worse overall warming. If you want to know more about chemical ice nucleation, go to any search engine, search geoengineeringwatch.org, engineering winter. You'll find lots of data. Moving on. Consider that climate and environmental collapse and cataclysm are occurring all over the globe. We are not being told while we're being fed every imaginable form of political theater day in and day out. Here's another headline. This one from the NewYorker.com and other sources. How to write about a vanishing world. Scientists chronicle ecological destruction and must confront the loss of their life's work and our planet's riches. Moving on, I'm running out of time. From truthout.org and other sources, this new headline report, of course, with no mention of climate engineering, the elephant in the sky. Here's the headline. Earth's ice loss is a nuclear explosion of geologic change. The poles are imploding. I'm not going by anybody's word. We can observe this on satellite imagery. Again, the ramifications are massive. Climate engineering is making the overall situation worse, not better. Another headline, humans causing climate to change. I mentioned this earlier in this broadcast, and I've mentioned it many times before. Humans causing climate to change 170 times faster than natural forces. There is nothing natural about that. I've given this example many times. To say that what's happening on our planet is some natural cycle is like throwing somebody off a 100-story building and saying people die. It's natural. This is not natural. Period. It's completely unnatural, and we will all pay the price soon if we remain on this course. Before moving on, and for the record again, to all those in academia who are refusing to tell the truth about the climate engineering scenario that's real now, to all those so-called environmental groups and movements who are also neck-deep in denial about the climate engineering reality, please find the courage to face and tell the truth, the full truth. There can be no legitimate discussion about the climate without first and foremost including the climate engineering insanity. And there can be no legitimate discussion about climate engineering without including the engineered winter cooldowns with patented processes of chemical ice nucleation elements. Investigate, search geoengineeringwatch.org again, search engineering winter to learn more. Moving on, from the publication of the Financial Times, this new and very telling report, climate catastrophe warnings were greeted with global silence. It seems much of the population will refuse to face the truth until we hit the wall at full velocity. That moment is close. If we can wake now, change course before the power structure is ready, we could still make a difference. Now, given all that we've covered in this broadcast, given the mountainous amount of data to confirm the climate engineering and climate collapse reality, consider this new headline report from TechCrunch.com and other sources. Here's the report. At what point do we admit that geoengineering is an option? Question mark. From the report, we already know how to cool the planet without reducing carbon. The solution is so simple, it's almost laughable. Just make our clouds a little more reflective so they reflect more of the sun's light and thus reduce our heat. How incredibly tyrannical can academia be to not admit to what has been going on for 70 years? 70 years. Now let's consider another headline last week from the New York Times, an absurdly false report of total disinformation designed to further pacify already, unfortunately, completely complacent populations. The headline says this, major climate report describes a strong risk of crisis as early as 2040. This is so incredibly false. Issued on Monday by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, a group of scientists, I've been over this report from different sources, by the United Nations to guide world leaders, describes a world of worsening food shortages and wildfires and mass die-off of coral reefs as soon as 2040. Stand back and consider the blatant, verifiable lies contained in this excerpt. Food shortages in countless locations around the globe are now. Wildfires are off the charts now. Mass die-off of coral reefs are now. Let's add what the article omitted, the largest reef in the world. The barrier reef is already all but dead. Far larger marine ecosystems, kelp forests are 90% gone. Global pelagic fish populations, the food fish, is 90% depleted. We've lost over 60% of Earth's overall wildlife populations in the last 40 years. The rate is accelerating by the day. As I reported in last week's broadcast on the current trajectory, again, the 0 day of no wildlife left on the current trajectory, mathematically, is 2026. Insect populations have crashed all over the planet. It's being called an insect apocalypse by the most current frontline reports. No insects, no people, that's clear. And we have the New York Times and the largest so-called science panel in the history of the human race on any subject, the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, telling us that there is, quote, a risk of crisis by 2040. Here's the fact of the matter. We live in societies that are built around disinformation, delusions, and lies. On the current course, none of us will, mathematically speaking, unless something changes, something unforeseen, on the current course, none of us will be here by 2040 or 2030 or likely much, much sooner than that. Question, what must we do in order to have any chance of changing the current course of environmental and climate implosion, a course of omnicide that we are currently on? That list is long and challenging of what we must do. This being said, the greatest leap we could make in the right direction is to fully expose and halt the climate engineering weather warfare insanity. If we have any chance of accomplishing this, it will take all our collective efforts. To those in Northern California that are listening to this broadcast, if you can, attend the major awareness event tonight at the Reading Holiday Inn. Get the frontline information and materials you need to help effectively and efficiently sound the alarm. Get more information on the event at the top center of the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage. Or if you're near Reading, get a free color event flyer at Orchard Nutrition in Reading. Help us to sound the alarm in this most critical battle. Some have come from as far away as Australia to attend this event. Hope to see you there. This is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.